Daily Traditionalist on Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Traditionalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 12th of September 2017. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. Just before we go into the programme and I introduce my co-host, I've got a couple of messages that I have to give out. I was talking to somebody in the chat room when we got our new chat room last week, just before I ended up going to bed. I was hoping to see them the next day, and I haven't seen them since, and it is rather important that they contact me. So if that's you, get in touch. A second message that I need to put out there is that we do rely on donations, and we do have a Bitcoin wallet, and we do have equipment that we need to be buying for the network. We've just got a new microphone for Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson, which you're going to hear today, but we also have other hosts that we need to get new microphones for. So if you can afford it, please do donate to our Bitcoin wallet. And as you just heard, I've got Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson with us today. Matt, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on. I think now I'm going to be pretty regular on Tuesday.
Yeah, I hope so. And we're going to have Florian Geyer on Wednesdays. So we've got an occasional traditionalist for you. I don't think I can handle doing five live shows a week. It's a little bit too much workload. So two live shows a week and three narrations, I think, is what we're going to be doing. But at least that will help keep the Daily Traditionalist fresh. We've got a few subjects to be talking about today. It was September the 11th yesterday, so I think that might come up in the conversation. And there was also a news story that you're rather interested in, Matt, about husbands being tagged or something, or women can now just make any allegation and the boyfriend can be tagged, something like that. Should we start with that one?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. You know, I have a pretty strong stomach for this stuff, but, you know, I've made an entire Orthodox nationalist on how the state permits women specifically to destroy marriages and to destroy men by using restraining orders, which in most states in the United States require zero evidence to obtain. I have two articles out on this topic as well as the podcast, and I went through all the case law, and it was so outrageous. I actually had to call trial lawyers that I know in Harrisburg to verify it, and it's absolutely true. These are civil cases, not criminal cases, anything goes. There's no standard of proof. There's no standard of justice, and judges are under tremendous pressure to pass these restraining orders, which mean that the man's life is destroyed. He loses his children, his home. He often loses his job, and he has to pay the woman support, which is not negotiated, simply imposed by the court, all by simply making an accusation and showing tears. In the state of Pennsylvania, all you have to do is say you're afraid. You don't even have to allege violence. There's no injuries necessary, nothing. And your guilt or innocence is not at issue. It's just – so there's no way to defend against it. So now men – and it shows you that the intense gynocracy that we live under, the utter complete control – that women have over men in all spheres of life and in all the entire economy and everything else, it's getting worse. And it's getting worse because male lawmakers are trying to make this regime even stricter. And in California, they've introduced a law where those victimized by these restraining orders have to wear an ankle bracelet. Now, the only reason that could ever be done is just to attempt to make any, you know, contempt of court orders stick. So it's a matter of resource extraction. Restraining orders are automatic if the guy's been arrested for some sort of domestic violence. So if you offer a restraining order without any criminal case, then it's probably false because there's no evidence to arrest the guy. And in all 50 states in America, it's mandatory arrest. So a restraining order without a corresponding criminal case is almost definitely false. So now they're tagging these men like cattle. And so what they're doing is making it so that these men have absolutely nothing to lose, treating them like non-citizens, and you know, forcing these divorces and breakups. And the man, of course, cannot even speak to the woman at this extremely, you know, divisive time in their relationship. So it almost guarantees violence. It guarantees a tremendous amount of resentment. And really what it comes down to is a wealth transfer from men to women. About 90% of the disposable income in America is controlled by females. That's why most, according to the Harvard Business Review, that's a few years ago. So, you know, the concept of gynocracy is one of the important pillars of the system, and that you have men, many of whom have actually been victimized by this law, trying to get even stricter by having them go around with an ankle bracelet. It furthers the dehumanization. And I just, you know, it's been a big issue with me for the last, you know, 5-6 years. And it's getting worse and worse.
Well, it seems to be that the woman's word is paid more attention to than the man. And it used to be completely the opposite way around. Women didn't used to be able to, they didn't used to be able to be witnesses in court, because they would say, well, how could you punish a woman if she lied? There is no way that we can punish her. It's uncivilized to lock a woman up. So it's far better just not to allow them to be witnesses, not to allow them to have a say in court, because there's no threat that we can really give to a woman to ensure that she tells the truth. So a woman's word didn't actually have any weight. And nowadays, it's the other way around. The woman's word has far more weight than the man. And as you were saying there, there doesn't even need to be any evidence. If the woman just says that she is fearful, she is frightened, then the man will be punished, and he will have this tag put on him, which is going to cause even more problems, I would have thought, as you said. But this idea of just being afraid is enough for an allegation of a crime seems to be something that's happening throughout our legal system. Because when we look at these accusations of hate crimes against minorities, you find that it's not actually any violence that's been committed. They just have to say, oh, it made me frightened. It made me fearful. I saw a sticker that said white people deserve a homeland. That made me frightened. That made me fearful. Therefore, that sticker was a form of violence. It was a political statement. Therefore, that sticker was terrorism. That's the logic that seems to be getting put across here. And so it's not just happening with, in this case that you're talking about there, Matt, with the women saying they're fearful. It's ethnic minorities. It's everyone else apart from white men, and basically beating up on the white man with this. And we've had a story recently with a group of young lads that were in the army in Britain, and they've been accused of being terrorists. They've been accused of plotting terrorism. Apparently, they were originally a part of National Action, which is a banned group, and the group is no more. There is no more National Action. So they could not have been members of National Action. Two members of the group were let off, and the other three members are still being charged with terrorism charges. And part of these terrorism charges is putting stickers up. Putting stickers up. How is that violent? How is that any kind of a crime to put stickers up? Well, the reason why they say it's a crime is because ethnic minorities are frightened of these stickers. They're frightened of words. Well, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words would never hurt me. That's the way that I was brought up, Matt. I'm sure that's the way you were brought up too. You know, how can we say what we mean if people can just say, oh, well, I'm frightened. That needs to be banned. Your speech needs to be banned. You need to be banned from the house. You need a tag. And it's all just to do with saying things that people don't want to hear. And that's what we do here. We say things that people don't want to hear. But of course, we have quite an audience for doing that, I think, with being politically incorrect, Matt. But what are your thoughts on this, Matt? This, you can't use these words because it makes us frightened, and therefore it's a crime.
But, you know, I've dedicated my life, you know, if someone were to ask me what I'm on this earth to do, it's, you know, it's to make the bourgeoisie uncomfortable. It's to make them, you know, question themselves. It's to get thrown out of as many cocktail parties as humanly possible. I think what makes the male-female issue different is that most men are betas. Most men really are preoccupied with getting female approval. And I think that's why men, knowing how wrong this stuff is, are falling over themselves, trying to to refurbish these already absurd laws concerning these restraining orders. These aren't criminal convictions, but they're treated as such. Concerning the First Amendment in America, the freedom of speech in general elsewhere, when you under one of these orders, you may not speak to the other person or third parties that may then relay a message to that person. It's not that you can't speak to them in a threatening way, but any speech. So here you have the First Amendment. You can't say, hi, how you doing? So the First Amendment is overridden by all of these. And so the only thing I think that the gender issue is that men, they want women to like them, and they want to be seen as understanding. I think we have a better chance at the other stuff, because the outrage isn't vitiated by this desire for female approval, and it's a tremendous ignorance on it all. And so the First Amendment has been ravaged in America in so many different ways like that anyway. And it's just a matter of time before the argument's already being made and will go through that words are just as bad or worse than physical violence, and therefore should be regulated in the same way that physical violence would be regulated. The sky's the limit if that's the case.
Well, you would think that because most of the judiciary is still men, it's still a male profession, and you would think that men would be sticking up for other men. But as you say, they don't. Men nowadays are proud to say that they are feminists. You cannot be a politician in Britain without bowing down to feminism and saying that you're a feminist. And our men seem to be stabbing our other men in the back like this and allowing these laws to get put in place. If you look at the family courts, where they will take the children away. They'll take the children away from fathers. And the father's word means nothing whatsoever. The woman's word has far more weight. The woman is listened to as if she is telling the truth. She doesn't actually have to provide any evidence, but the woman is listened to as if she's telling the truth, and the man won't be listened to. And this goes straight against all this nonsense that we're told about equality. And how all this drive is for equality under the law, and but it's not. It's equality of outcome is what they're trying to push for. But equality under the law is what we used to be proud of having. That's what we were envied for, was for having equality under the law. And we just don't have that anymore. Women have a higher value under the law. Ethnic minorities have a higher value under the law. Perverts have a higher value under the law. Their word will be listened to. Crimes against them will be punished far more than crimes against the white man. And yet this is a system that the white man created, and that in the majority of cases, the white man is still maintaining. The Crown Prosecution Service in Britain is 20% non-white. Now, that could be something to do with the amount of cases that get taken up by the Crown Prosecution Service for so-called hate crime, because they will turn down rape cases, robbery cases, but all these criticism on Twitter, that's sort of a hate crime. The Crown Prosecution Service are desperate to prosecute these. Now, that may be down to the amount of ethnic minorities that are in that. So that could be something to do with it. But that still doesn't discount the amount of traitors that we've got among our men, Matt. So many of us, our men, are traitors, and will go along with this. And they think that their women will be pleased to see that their man is behaving like a feminist and supporting feminism. But they won't be. They don't want men to behave like women. Women don't want men to listen to everything that they tell them and do everything that they tell them to do, because they know that they haven't got any limits. They don't have any boundaries. The man needs to give the woman the boundaries, and then the woman knows what the boundaries are, and she'll be happy. That's the way I see it. I've never yet seen a happy couple where the man is some kind of a feminist. He's just being bossed around by the woman. You have to have somebody that has the final say. Otherwise, you're just going to continue going round and round and round in circles arguing. The man should have the final say, and he should obey God, and the woman should obey the man, and the children should obey the woman. And that's the natural system, that's the natural hierarchy, that's what's outlined in the Bible, and that's what worked for us for 2,000 years. And now that's been turned on its head, and everything is falling apart. And we've got broken homes, we've got children being brought up without any fathers there. It's shocking things that are going on. And it all comes from ignoring the natural order and thinking that we know better, I think.
Well, patriarchy is, of course, part of the natural order. I just finished a paper on the John List killings, the mass murder that occurred just a few weeks after I was born, right down the street from me in New Jersey. John List became the first kind of celebrity mass killer in America, the first time, you know, you had, you know, media mobilization and everything else. And the issue there was that John had lost his job, couldn't get another one. And he said to himself, you know, I'm not a father anymore. I can't provide for my kids. They're better off dead than having to live on welfare, having to live as wards of the state, and having to live with his failed, miserable father. He wasn't a father at all. In other words, he went crazy because the pressures of being the head of the family were so crushing for him. You know, there's power involved, but at a huge price. And we live in an age now where there's still tremendous pressure on men to provide, with very, very few actual outlets where that could be handled. These kind of jobs are being removed. That wasn't the case in 1950 and 1960. And he just went bonkers because he was convinced that if I can't provide and I can't work, then not only am I not a man, I'm not a father, I'm not a person, I'm not a citizen. And so you have the crushing burden of being the patriarch, which is nothing but responsibility and really just a tremendous burden of authority, not power. It's authority, and increasingly no real ways of actually fulfilling that. And of course, John, you know, slightly overreacted, but that was his reasoning. That was his reasoning, that he was overwhelmed by the fact that he wasn't a man anymore, and he couldn't handle his kids having to live that way. And so he went bonkers there, and that was, you know, that was his rationalization for it anyway. It's an extreme example of what happens. Being the father of the family is a crushing burden. It's not about power. It's about responsibility. And few people know this anymore. And the economy is not geared such that a man could even do this in many cases anymore.
Well, what comes natural to the man is to provide for his family and to protect his family. And if that's taken away from a man, then you're right. The man has been unmanned. He doesn't have his place anymore. This is why the man feels the need to be the king of his castle. I mean, he's the head of the family. The family have to look up to him, but he's the guy that protects them. He's the guy that brings home the bacon. He's the guy that pays for everything. And the woman does what women are best at doing, homemaking. This is the natural way of doing things. And that used to be reflected in the laws as well. If you look back at the triads, which are the oldest laws that we have in Britain, the Welsh triads, it says that there are three things you could never take away from a man. One was the tools of his trade, another was his children, and the other was his home. Because to take away any one of those things is to unman a man. And somehow this has changed, where the woman can take the children away, which leaves the man. I cannot think of anything worse than to think of having your children being brought up by another man, and you having to pay for that privilege, having to pay the woman for that privilege. So this is the sort of thing that drives men absolutely wild, and they're going to do anything they can to prevent that from actually happening. And if they're prevented from actually speaking to the person that they've created children with, so there was originally a bond there, if they're prevented from speaking to them, then that is going to increase the tension. It is going to increase the likelihood of them doing something that they are going to regret. And this all comes from turning around nature and doing the opposite of it and listening to women. Women shouldn't be in the position of authority. The whole of our civilization was built by men and it's maintained by men. And for some reason, we've started putting women into these positions of authority. And then we wonder why the world starts falling apart. I look at Angela Merkel, what she's done to Germany, flooding the place with all these non-whites. Look at Theresa May, what she's done since she's become Prime Minister of Britain. I mean, it's just an embarrassment. Great Britain is just an embarrassment to me at the moment. We've got Theresa May, we've got the woman up in Scotland, we've got a woman in Wales, we've got a woman in Northern Ireland, and it's just a shame on our men, a real shame on our men. Are there not any men that are good enough to do that job? Are our women having to go forward and take these jobs instead? It's like with priests, women priests. Have we not got men that are good enough to do the job of a priest? If that's the way I see it. When I see a woman priest, I see that as a huge insult to men, because it's saying to me there aren't any men good enough to do this job, and we've allowed the women to come forward and do it instead. Do you ever get like that, man?
Yeah. I thank God every day that when I was going through my own divorce and custody hearings, none of this applied to me. Because my children were teenagers at the time, and they sided with me, and there was no question about it. There was no way she could get away with it. But I sat in that courtroom, and I watched men having this done to them, precisely as you described. I watched these guys with no lawyer, having no idea what was going on, with their wives, with full time lawyers given for free, doing all of this, destroying their reputation. And these guys are bewildered. They're ashen faced. They're pale. The hearing lasts 5 minutes, and they turn around. They said, "Wait, I think I just lost my children." They have no idea what even happened. I couldn't believe it. I saw five or six of these cases just in one day. It was outrageous.
Well, women aren't happy with what they've got like that. They're still never happy. They will go off and they'll find somebody else, and the children won't be happy, and they'll feel guilty about what they have done, or else they won't get married at all, and they'll just play the field, and then their biological clock will start ticking, and they'll want to have children, and they'll realize that it's too late for that, and they've given their lives over to their employer instead of serving their husband. They've been serving a boss for money. I mean, that's prostitution. You can either serve your husband, who loves you, and repay him with that same love back, or you can serve your boss and get paid for it. And that is, you may not be having sex with your boss, but it's exactly the same principle. You know, you're being paid for what you are doing for another man. And it's everything has been turned around on its head. I'm getting messages from Matt here that I need to keep it going. I think maybe his cats might have been causing him a problem there. He's got some cats, which occasionally you might have heard in the recordings. Matt, are you still there?
Oh, yes. Sorry about that.
Was it your cats?
As always, you know, they attack the microphone, they attack the wires and everything else. And, you know, I tried to create a barrier keeping them out. That lasted about 5 seconds. So my career, you know, has been vitiated by having four anarchist felines in the house. Yeah, sorry about that.
Cats, we like to have animals around. This is the thing men like to protect and provide for. So you got cats there. You're providing the food for them, and you keep them around. You look after them, and it's the sort of thing that white people do. Non-whites, they don't keep pets. They don't keep dogs. They don't keep cats. They don't have a desire to look after things. So the white race itself is a very masculine race when you compare it like that, and you look at say the blacks, who don't have any concern for animals. They're very materialistic. They like to wear lots of jewelry. They like to show their wealth. And again, this is a female thing. Women like to wear jewelry. They like to dress up. They like to trade on their looks. And this is what the black race does. Whereas the white race, we don't like to ostentatious shows of wealth, and we have a masculine way of doing things. You know, this is why it's white people that are being persecuted like this. It's the white man and it's the white race, because I think we represent the masculinity, we represent the God, the male God, all of these things. We are his representative on earth, and we've turned our back on nature. We've turned our back on God's laws, we've turned our back on the laws of nature, and we've handed it over to women to run, we've handed it over to Negroes to run, and we've handed it over to Jews to run. And we've listened to them instead of listening to our ancestors and listening to our God. And we're not going to fix things until we go back to the way that we should be doing it. I mean, you can talk about National Socialism, and the reason why we say National Socialism is the right way is because that's based on the laws of nature. It's based on these eternal laws that just don't change. You can't breed with another race and expect things, your own race, to continue in the same shape that it's in. You have to pay attention to the laws of nature, and you have to pay attention to the laws of nature regarding the relationships between males and females. And if you want children to be brought up to be the best they can possibly be when they're adults, then they have to come from a stable home. They have to have a mother and a father that stay there with them if you want them to live to their fullest expectations and fullest potential. And I know that, you know, most of the people I know nowadays, both their parents were split up. And it's absolutely tragic, but that's just what's happening all around us. And if we really want to be at our best, we've got to put a stop to that. And looking at nature is what does it.
Well, it's one area where liberalism has admitted defeat, intellectually speaking, that that the family is the center of society. When family dies, everything dies. Liberals have largely conceded that point. There isn't a single major study out there that doesn't show that family decay is decay in every respect, that doesn't show that having no father in the family leads to total social breakdown. It's connected very closely with everything from delinquency to poverty to divorce and everything else. No one's denying that anymore. Liberals have long since ceased trying to fight that battle. And yet, at the same time, while recognizing that, policy is in the exact opposite direction. And so it has to be deliberate. It has to be a deliberate way of replacing the patriarch who, it wasn't that long ago, could support a family with one often blue-collar wage. Well, that's simply impossible anymore.
The family unit is the central unit that the rest of civilization is built upon, isn't it? The child looks up to the mother looks up to the father. So you've got that hierarchy, which you have with the authorities, and you have the engineers and the higher castes in society that people look up to make these decisions because they're well informed. They know more about things than we do. And we're told with this, but to turn it on its head, and that these people that are at the top there, they shouldn't be there. We shouldn't have these intellectual people making these decisions for us. We should all go to the lowest common denominator. We should have democracy. We should have the people that are the least qualified deciding on the most important subject. Who is it that's going to be at the top in the hierarchy of authority? And we give that to the people who are the least qualified to make that decision. And we've been told that that's a good thing to do. It's not a good thing to do. It's the worst thing to do. The people that should be at the very top should be the people with the merit to be at the very top. And if a woman makes a good choice, then her husband deserves to be at the top of the family. He's going to make the right choices. And sometimes she may doubt that. She may doubt that he's making the right choices. But I can guarantee that if she sticks with him and he's a good man, in 20 years' time, she'll realize that, yeah, he did make the right choices. Nothing makes me happier, Matt, than seeing people in their 70s and their 80s that are still together. You know, and they're so happy. Seeing their grandchildren and knowing that they did the right thing by staying together. And everyone goes through patches in their marriage, which, you know, or in relationships where they're having arguments and they want to split up. But if they would just stick with it, even if it's just for the children's sake, then they'll find that at the end of it, they're happy. I mean, we can see this with the arranged marriages in India. You know, they can't find anyone from an arranged marriage over the age of 60 that is going to say they regretted it. They all say that they did the right thing. And it's very hard for them to find people around the age of 40 that are going to say that they regretted their arranged marriage. Because once you spend time with somebody and you work at something and you're both working at it, then the chances are that you're going to succeed at it. And the children, that's who it's done for. That they're the important ones. It's the children and a stable home for them to be brought up in. Matt, I don't know if you want to add anything else to this before we finish? We've got a couple of minutes to go.
Well, you mentioned the lowest common denominator. And in this particular case, when standards are eliminated, all you have is money. Money is the ultimate lowest common denominator. That fills in for everything else. And this is something that Karl Marx actually got right in his early writings, that it's the ultimate abstraction. And oligarchy is what happens when standards fall, when hierarchy falls, when patriarchy falls, and you have this leveling, the only thing that ends up mattering is money, raw power, raw coercion. It dresses up in all kinds of, you know, universalistic ideological, you know, guises and NGOs and stuff like that. But ultimately, it's financial power. And when you eliminate the standards, that's all you have. That's all that's left.
And money is the root of all evil. Matt, thank you very much for coming on. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back with a Florian Geyer tomorrow. Don't forget, we do have a Bitcoin wallet. And if that was you that I was talking to in private messaging in the chat room, then please contact me. It's rather important. Okay, have a great day and hail victory.
Listening to The Daily Traditionalist on Radio Arian.